The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his children and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but the one who drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit and truth. When he comes, he will proclaim." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus. So when they came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And so he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You'll note that there's a shorter Gospel reading and a longer one. And I want to go just through a few phrases from the longer one because I'm talking about it. When Jesus asked her to give him some water, he said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." And then she went on to divert the conversation a little bit. So that's the part I want to talk about. A number of years ago, I was visiting a hospital, And as I was going along the hall, a young girl spoke to me and said, are you a Catholic priest? And I, yes, said yes. And she said, well, when you're free, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. So when I finished visiting the patient, we found a spot where it was quiet and we could talk. And she said, what I'm really worried about is whether God is very angry with me. I'm 16 years old and I'm in the hospital because they tried to take my life. Well, we spent some time discussing God's forgiving love and about how God heals life's hurts. I told her that God never stops loving us, even when we make very bad choices. He never writes people off. I hope I helped her that day. Today's gospel gives us this marvelous conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Women usually came to draw water either early in the day when it was cooler or in the evening. The fact she was there midday probably indicates she was avoiding the other women who probably shunned her because of her many marriages and her current living situation. She was a kind of a Samaritan Elizabeth Taylor. Jesus is thirsty, and having no means of drawing water, he asks her for a drink. She's surprised at this request, since Jews normally never talk to Samaritans, whom they consider to be religious outcasts, a sort of inferior branch of the human race. This leads to further discussion where Jesus talks about another kind of thirst, a spiritual thirst, a thirst for God and his love. He also speaks of the living water that he can give. It's the same thirst that all people have. St. Augustine expresses it this way: our hearts were made for you, O Lord, and they will not rest until they rest in you. Notice how Jesus addresses this thirst in his conversation with the woman. There's no question that she has a checkered career, but does he lecture her or embarrass her about it? Not at all. Instead, he kindly leads her to the realization that there is a better way to live. She moves gradually through self-reflection to sorrow, finally to an awareness that he is the Messiah. In fact, she becomes the first Christian missionary, spreading the good news to others in her town. And so Jesus finds it necessary to spend a couple of extra days there. It's good for us to examine our own approaches and to compare them with our Lord's. How do I act when a family member or friend marries outside the church, for example? Sometimes such a person is cut off from family or friends, shunned or excluded. It's true that a Catholic who, without a dispensation, marries without a priest, a Catholic priest, or a deacon as the church's official witness is not considered by the church to be validly married. But their decision should not cause friends and family to disown them or treat them badly. Let us take our cue from Christ in today's gospel. Yes, you can tell them that you don't agree with their decision, but show that your love for them is no less. Remember that God always loves us, even when we make decisions that go against his wishes for us. We need to be bridge builders and not cut people off because they've made a decision we don't agree with. In another situation, if a marriage of a friend or relative ends in separation or divorce, some Catholics have a lot of difficulty, and some have even told such people that they're excommunicated. Well, There never has been an excommunication for divorce in Canada. If we take our cue from Christ today, we will show compassion, kindness, and concern. A person who's gone through a separation or divorce has suffered enough heartache, pain, and anxiety without having friends or relatives add to it by rejecting them. Not one of them enjoys the experience or is happy that their marriage failed. They probably believe that marriage is intended to be a permanent commitment and wish that it had been so in their case too. We need to encourage such a person to keep close to the faith community, to attend Mass, yes, and to receive the sacraments unless they're already living with someone else, in which case they should refrain from the sacraments and see if there's any steps they may take to remedy the situation. It's very important that none of us try to be more Catholic than the Church or more Christian than Christ. Most young adults today, possibly concerned about the frequency of broken marriages, have fallen victim to a popular fad which suggests that the best way to prepare for marriage is to live together for a while, a sort of a test run before deciding to tie the knot. Studies show that this doubles their chances of failure. You know, their parents and grandparents weren't that dumb after all by following a more self-disciplined approach. About 3 years ago, Pope Francis conducted a consultation of the world's Catholics in preparation for two synods on marriage and the family. His follow-up document is full of inspiring and challenging suggestions for strengthening marriages and for pastoral care of married couples. Over and over, the Vicar of Christ repeats that now is the time for mercy. Recently, an author pointed out that our church through the ages alternates between periods of doctrinal emphasis and periods of pastoral emphasis. At this time, we're clearly in a pastoral phase. And during a pastoral phase, the church makes extra efforts to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that the teachings and actions of Jesus might be more effectively applied to the issues of the present age. Finally, then, today's gospel for us is a clear lesson on the remarkable and surprising patience and compassion of our Savior. It is for us an invitation to love one another and to leave the judgment to God, who sees the heart of saint and sinner alike. It's an invitation to all of us to show love and compassion to those who are burdened with guilt, discouragement, and sadness. Let us learn the lesson well and try to live it day by day. Amen.